Jim, why don't you come up here and pray for the pastors in Haiti. Last night, there was another pastor that was kidnapped. So it's like in the past 3 weeks, there have been a fight against the church. You know, so the spirit of kidnapping, killing, that's killing and destroying, is attacking God's people. So I believe the people in Haiti, they need to put themselves together. Nobody's going to help them. But I'm praying that somehow in their mindset, there would be like, you know, Haitians, they know how to do revolution, you know. So I'm thinking this is about the time, all right? It's too much. It's past due. So we're going to, you know, you understand mission too. So let's pray for the pastors.
Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name.
Haiti has experienced so much, Lord, so much turmoil, so much chaos. There has been earthquakes, devastation, and when the earthquake comes, everything that is standing is shaken and it's torn down. Right now, Father, we need a Holy Spirit earthquake.
Yes, Lord. We need
in Haiti.
Heaven,
we need the heavens to shake.
Jesus.
We need kingdoms to be torn down, Lord.
Jesus, right now.
Lord, we need sin. The ravages of sin to be felt and experienced and cried out about and felt and the pain of the sin felt
the glorious
redemption of that sin. Jesus Christ, Lord, we need for that to be proclaimed. I know that it's being proclaimed. I know the churches in Haiti are proclaiming it. But somehow people don't feel the need. They don't feel the sin. They don't feel the need for a Savior because they don't feel the pain of the sin. And if they don't feel the pain of the sin, they'll never know the blessing of the cross.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord God, we pray for a Holy Ghost earthquake in Haiti. Lord, we pray for kingdoms to come down. We pray, Father, for your cross to be proclaimed, the fact that Jesus died for that sin, the sin of Haiti, every sin in Haiti, every kidnapping, every killing, everything that is wrong in Haiti. You died for that, Lord Jesus.
Jesus' name.
We pray that that would be proclaimed loudly, that it would be believed, that there would be a turnaround, that there would be a repentance from the top to the bottom, from the government, Lord, on down to the person in the street, the vendor. Lord, that there be let there be a conviction of sin,
Lord,
such as never has been experienced before.
Justice,
in Haiti.
Peace, Lord God.
Lord, we pray for the Holy Spirit to shake that nation once again.
Thank you.
For conviction of sin, for recognition that Jesus is Lord, that He has risen.
Yes.
He didn't just die, He rose again, and He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and He is King over Haiti, despite what anybody says, what anybody does. He is King over Haiti. And Father, we pray right now for our dear brother,
Lord,
and his family, and his church, and all who love him and know him. Not only him, but other brothers who perhaps have been kidnapped, and there is fear and there is uncertainty. Lord, we just pray that you would come into that,
right now,
enter into that situation.
And
let him know. Let him know in the valley of the shadow of death that you are there with him, and that you, and let him fear no evil. Lord, we just pray for your victory in this situation. We pray for his freedom. Such severe conviction of the Holy Spirit that he would back away and he would not touch him. Lord, we pray that your angels are always watching. Lord, we pray that your angels would watch over him and protect him. We look forward to his freedom and the announcement of a victory and a great revival breaking out there in Haiti in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And for your glory and for your praise,
Lord,
in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You know, you should never run out of stuff to pray. And I tell you, pray, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day. Is this a song? You guys know this song? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you. What's the next word? It'll make you grow, you grow, you grow. Seriously. If you read your Bible, if you pray, pray God's word. And I pray that the Lord would break our hearts for what's breaking His heart. You know? I said last week, 50 years from today, everything people are killing themselves for won't matter. Everything they're like, people dog eating dog, going after the material position, the money, the things that create anxiety and all that stuff, worries. 50 years from today, October what? What's today? 10th. It won't matter. Even all of our money, 50 years from today. You know what will matter? The Bible says it. What would it gain a man? What would it serve a man to gain the whole world? I mean, that's a pretty good idea to own the world. Yeah, I mean, you're thinking about some of those guys that own social media and stuff. I heard the other day that Facebook and WhatsApp went crazy for a day, and people were freaking out. I'm like, if that happened to anybody, when it happened, you were freaked out, you were scared, or you felt like lost. I tell you, man, you need to repent and find Jesus. So sad. So this is the time for us to be kingdom-minded more than ever. More than ever. Kingdom-minded. We do the things we gotta do. We serve. We love people. The key is to love people. Love your family. Cherish relationships. You know, and this is something I've been preparing in the past month. And today, please, give me your time. Give me your ears. Give me your attention. Be intentional about giving me your attention. So therefore, you might want to cut off some distractions. Maybe turn your phones off unless you're on a special call. Put it on silence, you know, because I'm going to give you some stuff. I'm going to give you a lot of information. I'm not sure if I'm going to teach, if I'm going to preach. But I made sure I have lots of my notes written down so I could stay on track. I thank God for the past month and a half. We've been talking about mission. And I thank you guys for being generous. You know, we've give last month. Probably more than you wanted to. It's the same thing. We do it all the time. I'm constantly giving. More than I make, I give. But I've never run dry. See, this is the time to live by faith, not by sight. Stop looking at your checking account. Balance your check account. Make sure it's balanced. Don't use your credit cards. Don't use the money you don't have. You all could tell me these things. It's just a reminder. You already know what I'm talking about. But some of those young kids needs to hear it again. People out there needs to hear it again. That's why they can't sleep. They can't enjoy life. Because everybody wants to quick have everything. It doesn't work that way. You know, so we are a mission-minded church. You know, the mission and the vision of the church. Today I'm going to take some time to talk about, I am a church member. You see, this is a very controversial subject. I actually did a lot of research in the past month about being a church member. And I know some people, they're scared about the idea of being a church member. Well, I mean, think about it. Even you go to Sims Club, why does everybody wants to be a member? Think about it. Why does everybody wants, just for 20 seconds, just think about it. You go to Kohl's, you buy something, and they ask you, are you a member? Are you a reward member? You go to Target, Walmart. Everybody wants to be a member. You know? You know, pay my gas. I'm like, okay. Every time I pay my gas, it's like, are you a reward member? So I wouldn't pay attention to it. But one time, that message caught my attention. Because it says, if you become a member, you get to save 17 cents per gallon. Oh man, I'm thinking, wow, 17 cents per gallon? But something they didn't tell me, it's only for the first three fills. That's what they call the fine points. You see, and today, well, I'm going to talk about church member. Don't think about Lansdowne Community Church, please. We're not talking about a local church member. I'm targeting a mindset. Okay? So, of course, I signed up, you know, put my phone number, put my address, and they're like, all right, next time you buy gas, just, I tell you guys, the first time I filled my truck, now I'm filling my truck for like, you know what I'm talking about, $65. It's crazy. I need a hybrid. You know, it's crazy. So, first time, I was just like, yes, man, I saved almost a lot of money. Second time, it's amazing. So guess what? Now, every time I want to buy gas, guess what I think about? 7-Eleven. They think they got me. I am a member. Privilege. I'm thinking about privilege. What can I get out? Everything out there except for the kingdom of God. When they want your membership, they want your money. They want to take advantage of you. In God's kingdom, it's not like that. I mean, being part of a family like the Plank family, you guys are a member of the Plank family. When you understand family dynamic, it's being a member give you a sense of belonging. It's not something, when you're a member of something, they don't take advantage of you. I'm talking about kingdom perspective. So of course, 7-Eleven, they took advantage of, not me, but of the fact that everybody wants good deal. But yet, when I think I was getting a good deal, after my third fill, I went and punched my number. I only saved 3 cents. So guess what? After that, I'm not really worrying about to fill at the 7-Eleven anymore. Because it's like, you know, I mean, I spent $67, $65, and I'm like, you know what? It's not worth it. If I'm, you know, freedom, right? No, we don't have to go there. So why does everybody wants your membership? But I want to touch this, the mission and the vision of the church. I read in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, the mission of the church. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever you have commanded. I have commanded you, and I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What was the purpose of Jesus for his church? Now remember, I'm talking about Jesus' church. This morning when I walked in here, I said, God, this is your church. I prayed. Lord, I said, we are your church. Not necessarily the building, but when we come together, we come together as the Lord's church. The church is designed to equip believers to lead in his or her gifting. That's why my purpose is to equip you. The church is God's agency to train the believers to start thinking like a ruler again, and then to find and discover their gift and rule with their gifts. That's why me being an apostolic pastor and kingdom-minded person, I want everybody to be involved. You wonder, how come in Haiti I've been in ministry about 22 years. But in lead pastoral position in the last 11 years. And I can tell you, this is one of my greatest privileges, because God created me as a pastor. I am a pastor. I love it. It's not easy. Sometimes, back in the days before I understood the Lord better, I was just like, I don't want this. I even tried to go do something else, like Peter. I went fishing. You know, not fishing. I said yes to a job in 2015. You know, thinking, well, this is what I want to do. But then the Lord's like, he rebuked me. He's like, no, this is not what I have for you. What are you doing here? Then I said, okay, God, let's do this. But I count it as a great privilege to be a shepherd. But therefore, I want to shepherd like Christ. I want to do it exactly. That's why I read the gospel. I see how Jesus does it, and I do it. But I tell you, in the past 20 years, especially in the last 11 years, one thing that I understand, I wrote it down here. I says, in those 11 years being in lead pastoral position, that has helped me to see firsthand the fruit of those who understand the importance there is in belonging to a church and not just go to church. That makes sense? I have experience and I've seen the fruit in the life of those who understand the importance of belonging and not just go to church. When you belong to something, there's accountability. When you belong, that's why now, oh man, I pray against the spirit of COVID-19. There are people that used to come to church to go to, that used to belong to a community before COVID. Now, the COVID virus, the COVID demon has taken away the little taste they had for God's community. Just imagine people that are doing life alone. Us here in this community, when you understand I belong to this community, you don't have to do life by yourself. Because you understand I have a commitment to you. I have a covenant with you. You do have a covenant with me. Just think about it. Why would it be fair for me to commit to you or for your friend, any friend, or you, for instance? I know some of you, if not all of you, you are very loyal people. It's something that really kills you. When you are devoted to someone, committed to someone, giving your life for them, showing them you care, and to find out they don't care about you. Oh, that's the worst thing. Or you find out, man, they were just taking advantage of you. It hurts. You cry. You want to hate them. Sometimes you want to choke them. Sometimes in my mind, I go there and I take them there in my mind. There's a place in my mind where I choke them. All right? Can I have a witness? Can I have a witness? Amen. The Lord knows we're all human. That's why when I have those thoughts, I bring those thoughts captive under the power of the blood. I'm like, I can't do that. You know, it's like, well, God, forgive me. I want revenge. But the Lord says, revenge is mine. So therefore, I chill and I let the Lord bring vengeance or justice to the situation. So it's not an easy thing. It is not an easy thing to have people taking advantage of you. But I've seen it. And that's why, my goal as a preacher is to make sure that the church is equipped and not to just giving you a sermon to go home. And I bet you, most of you here, if you didn't listen to what we said last Sunday, most of you don't remember it. It's okay. There's no condemnation. But that's why I encourage you to either go back on our web page, go back on Facebook or YouTube, listen to it again. Listen, when God gives you a word, write it down. Write it down. Go back on it. See what the Lord said. That's why it's so important to know God's word. When you know God's word, when everybody else is speaking, you will be able to make the difference between God's voice and this is God. That's not what the Lord says. This is what the Lord said. I know God's word. So if you go to the next one, we are all called to ministry. You know, I said God's church is, the church is God's agency to train the believers to start thinking like rulers and discover, and them to find and discover their gifts. You know, the Bible calls that ministry. We are all been called to ministry. You know, what kind of ministry? You can repeat it with me. Reconciliation. The next slide for me. Reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Reconciliation is bring back together. You know, we have been called to bring people back together. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task to reconciling people to him. Now, let us go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 14. Thank you, God, for your word. Ephesians chapter 4, if you open your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 4. You'll find Ephesians in the New Testament. 4, verse 11. It says, he is the one who gave these gifts to the church. What are the gifts? The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. So therefore, my mindset is to equip the saints to make sure they're doing God's word, God's work. So being called in the ministry and functioning with the king, with a kingdom-minded, I should never see somebody else that's growing up in the church that can do it better than I am, than I can do. I should never see that person as a threat. I should never see that person as a threat. As a matter of fact, my goal is to raise sons and daughters to see who can take my place. I must decrease, they must increase. This is the word of the Lord. See, the problem is in church, pastoral or prophetic position, you know, church leadership position has becoming a job, a career. People go to seminary to be a pastor, but they don't have a call. Think about it. So, it's so sad. It's so sad. It's a money-making thing. So then, of course, without the heart, without the passion, people perish. People are not being taken care of. But here in Ephesians, Paul said it. He says, those gifts are given to the church to equip the saints. Until we come, verse 13, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord's measuring up to the full stature of Christ. Nothing compares to a group of believers who love one another, each other, and serve God together. Nothing compares to it. That's why, as a church, as the kingdom church here in Lansdowne, we will continue to believe in one another. We will continue to be there for one another. Remember, I told you and I, we have a covenant relationship with God. There's no divorce in God. But it's a joyful thing when you have your kids. Most of you have experienced this. We are looking forward to it. Some of you might be looking forward to it. It's a wonderful thing when you have kids. They grow up. They're doing good. They're responsible. They find a job. And they move out. Right? You bless them. You know? And some kids, they're like, by the time they're 14, they're like, man, I can't wait to get out. Guess what? We too. Us too. It's okay. But what do? We bless them. We bless them. We release them. That's why when I believe if someone's living like once a church understand membership, if God's calling you to go to, for example, Mount Pleasant Church, it's the same church. It's God's church. Our culture might be different. But when God is looking for his church in Virginia Beach, he doesn't see Lansdowne, Mount Pleasant, The Rock, The Wave, this, that. He doesn't see it that way. He sees the church in Virginia Beach and Chesapeake. He sees it as one. You know, studies show that only 5%, Christians argue on only 5%. There is only 5% of things we don't agree on. 95% of the time, we will find things that we agreed on. But guess what? We fight over those 5%. See how terrible it is? I said, there's no divorce in God. So therefore, if someone is in my church, Jesus' church here, if they come and talk to me, they want to go to next door church, my goal is to bless them, to send them with a blessing. Nobody shouldn't be afraid to go talk to their leadership or the pastor about leaving a local church. But then, you should never leave a church to go to the next church because you have conflict. Because hurt people hurt people. If you live here bleeding, the next place you go, you're going to bleed on everybody. But sometimes we know how to dress the wounds, all right? We dress it. We come nicely looking. Everything good. Oh, newcomers. First come. What? You remember? First friend. Fresh friendship. Fresh relationship. Oh, yeah. It's all good. But then the moment we start doing life together. See, that's why when we do life together, that's how we know each other. See, I won't know you if you only come here on Sunday morning. You know when I know you? When we go fishing together. And then, you know, so-and-so thought he was going to get a fish. And then he, you know, you never curse at church. But then he's just like, oh, shit. That's when you hear it. And you're like, oh, I didn't know you know how to curse. You really know each other when you go camping together. You really know each other when we stay after service and we eat together, we do life together, you know, you go on a ball game, you show interest in each other's life. You know, Connor, he plays soccer. Where's Connor? He disappeared. Okay, so he plays soccer. So, you know, we find ways to show that we are interested in what he's doing. It is sad. But as for us, I'm going to repeat it again. Nothing compares to a group of believers who love one another, who pray for each other, and serve God together. Now remember, the word of God, Jesus said, if anybody attend, wants to serve me, he must follow me. That's how you become a disciple. A true disciple is a follower of Christ. It's someone who follows in the footsteps of Christ. You know, a lot of people, you know, we have failed to teach about the biblical church membership, and we have unfortunately reaped what we have sown. Membership without meaning and members without commitment. That's what we have in churches. We have membership without meaning. Everybody think, well, you're a member of this church. Well, that means a lot of the times they think we want your money. No, here that's not what it means. See, God wants your heart before your money. If God calls, he will provide. That's why I keep telling you, don't look at the numbers. God will always provide where he calls. Understand this. See, I'm a church member. If you open your Bibles with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read that. Why membership is important. 1 Corinthians 12. Are we learning something so far? Are you guys still with me?
Yes.
All right, let's go. 1 Corinthians 12. You found it? One body with many parts. The human body has many parts, but the many parts makes up only one body. So it is with the body of Christ. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are Haitians, some are Jamaicans, some are Germans. I don't know if, did you see that in your version? It's there, I tell you, man. Mine, I've got a special version. Some were Amish, Mennonite. Some didn't know God at all. Some grew up in a home that talked about God. Some didn't. Verse 14. I'll tell you where to find my Bible. Buy a Bible like mine when we're done. Yes. Yes, the body has many different parts. Not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm no part of the body because I'm only an ear and not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? Suppose the whole body were an eye, then how would you hear? Or if your whole body were just one big ear, that would be an awkward body. I told you, I got a special version. How could you smell anything? Verse 18, but God made our bodies with many parts, and he has put each part just where he wants it. What a strange thing a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The hand can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the part that seems weak, the weakest and least important, are really the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable, and those we clothe with greatest care. So we carefully protect from the eyes of others those the part that should not be seen, while other parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have been less, that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other equally. If one part rules, if one part suffers, all the parts suffers with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Now all of you together are Christ's body. And each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. You see, I'm trying not to comment, but on this right there, I'm going to do it. When a part suffers, we all should suffer. When I say suffer, let's say somebody in the body of Christ fall in sin. You know, the Bible says there's all kinds of sin, but there's one sin that when you do it, you not only do it, it affects you, but it affects your whole body, it affects your family, it might even affect your generation. Let's say, for example, sexual sin. That's why the Bible says, preserve yourself, save yourself from sexual sin, sexual immorality. But when something like that happens, we should be hurting too. In the news right now, there are tons of people coming out accusing, that's the word, accusing, because we don't know, so many preachers. Now remember, you are as strong as your character. You are as strong as your ethic. See, the problem is a lot of Christians, they don't take care of their backbone. I mean, all of us here, when you experience back pain, it doesn't matter if you're hungry when you have back pain. Because when your spine is not healthy, man, it's a terrible thing. I've experienced it. Back pain, sciatical pain, right? Is that what they call it? Sciatic? Sciatic. It's not pleasant. As a Christian, you got to take care of your backbone. And living a life of character, ethic. The person you are in behind closed doors is the person you are when there's people. So we are part of one another. That's why I never put myself in a position to blaspheme or distribute a news that talks bad about a preacher. You know, oh, so-and-so, did you hear? So-and-so did so-and-so. What, you know, so-and-so did that. You should grieve. I talked to a friend yesterday and find out one of their people killed themselves. Don't let people fool you, especially here in the States. Success does not mean people are fine. Don't let anybody fool you because they live in a big house, because they're driving a car they want. People are suffering out there. People need the Lord. They need a fresh revelation of the kingdom, not the church. Jesus told the disciple, when you pray, this is how you should pray. Ask God to establish His kingdom. So why membership? A sense, membership gives you, the next slide, membership gives you a sense of belonging. Why is belonging important? You know, a sense of belonging is crucial to our life satisfaction, happiness, mental and physical health, and even longevity. You see, that's why a lot of people, they feel so rejected. You know, it's the worst thing when someone grew up with a orphan mentality. I've dealt with orphans. You know, when you feel like you're not accepted, you're not loved, you know, you're not wanted. Oh, that's the worst feeling, when you feel rejected. Oh man, you feel rejected by your kids, rejected by your parents, rejected by your husband, your wife. That's the worst feeling ever. But something for you to be reminded of. God our Father, He wants you. You see, I told you this already. Everybody wants people to love Him, but Jesus. Jesus is like, come on. I like all over. Like. You don't have to do anything. I like. Huh? That's it. Jesus, every day, you don't have to do anything. I like. And we don't want that. People don't want that. People don't want the big like Jesus is giving them. The only like that can save your life. The only like that can keep you sane. The only like that gives you peace. It's the like of Christ. Why don't we receive that like? Oh, I receive it. Jesus liked me. He loves me. That's why I tell you every day, sometimes I pray, I said, Lord, thank you for your love. Love me, Lord Jesus. You know, lavish your love on me that I would have nothing else to give. Because all of us, you know why a sense of belonging is important. It is important in our life because when we feel belong to something, when we are belonging to something, there's a sense of happiness, right? There's a sense of, stability mentally, physically. That's why I tell you, when people reject you, don't associate their rejection with God's love. God will never reject you. The doors are always open. The doors are always open. That's why I tell you, nothing you can do can make God loves you more. Nothing you have done will close the door. And this is the gospel of the kingdom. People out there need to hear that. They need to get a fresh revelation. You don't have to perform. This society is all about performance. I've never seen anybody take a selfie of themselves when they first wake up. Good morning, Facebook. There are people like that. Awesome. That's what I'm talking about. But everybody wants to portray the right image. Everybody wants to, you know, I'm in it too. There's no condemnation. But it's just like we are looking for likes. We are looking for, it's natural. It's human. We want people to accept us. We don't want people to be mad at us. We don't want people to, you know, that's why I pray that God would give the church boldness. This is not the time to play like, you know, Toby was talking about it last week. This is the time you stand for what you believe. I am a pro-life person. I stand for the unborn. It's not right for anybody to kill the babies. It's not right. I mean, it's not right. Sin is sin. There's no play around, you know. There's no play around. Sin is sin. You either love the Lord, you live by the fear of the Lord, You love the Lord, you live by the standard of the word of the Lord, or you don't. You don't go and pick peach on a apple tree. You don't do that. If somebody does that, I mean, first of all, you should get them checked out. It's the same thing. Being a Christian should be very easy to observe. You should, what I want to say is, it should be very easy to notice a follower of Christ. Because their words will match their action. Next slide. 2/3 of builders generation, those born in 1946, are Christians. 9 out of 10 churches in America are declining and growing at a pace that is slower than that of their community. Simply stated, churches are losing ground in their own backyard. I mean, we can see it in our community. I pray about it. I'm like, okay, God, you do your thing. Okay, how do we reach out to this community? I mean, how many times we've done Christmas carols, we've done, you know, whatever else we've done in this community before I was here. How many times we've done so many things. People want a program. You know, people want something that they could bring their kids in. So you start thinking about ways to bring them in, you know. 15% of millennials, those who were born between 1980s and 2000, are Christians. I mean, and they are one of the largest generation in the church, in America as well. Now, here are some other church statistics to refresh your mind with. Next slide. The latest research on church attendance can be found in the American Church in Crisis by David T. Olson. With research based on data from 200,000 plus churches and the U.S. Religion Landscape Survey by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, has analyzes basis on interview with 35,000 plus American adults in America. 35 to 40,000 churches close their doors each year. I mean, even locally. I didn't have time to do the research, but how many churches in Virginia Beach and Chesapeake has closed their doors since COVID? A lot. In America in itself. You can do the research yourself. I mean, how many people since COVID haven't returned to church? And I tell you, they're not looking anywhere. If the people that left our building, because once you understand commitment, you won't want to leave the relationship. That's why marriage, two people who understand covenant, it doesn't matter what the difference is. You can always work it. You can always work it. Friendship, relationship, always. You can always work it. There's no, I'm done. I'm done because you want to be done. In the gospel, there's always restoration and restitution. There's always hope. Can I have a witness? I tell you, there's always hope. And if people would only, just sometimes I think about it, I'm like, wow. If people that have gotten offended, gotten hurt, if only they would stick around, oh man, they would be at a different spot. There are people that have been offended from what happened here in the past 5 years that are still offended. There are people when they hear the name of Lansdowne, it brings them anxiety because of some of the things they've experienced here. But if only they would give Jesus a chance. Jesus is a God of restoration. I mean, look what happened to us here. Next slide. And that's a reality, a very sad reality. 1,500 pastors in America leave the ministry every month. 87% pastors visited a porn site 4 times at least a week. Oh, God, have mercy. I mean, how do you do this thing? men in the church. That's why I pray us men here, you all are living a life of integrity. You're not in pornography. And if you are, I want you to come talk to me. You should not be in that garbage. It's not real. It's evil. It's destroying your mind. Amen. Including women. It's not just for lady, for the men. We've got women that are dealing with pornography as well. 1,500 pastors in America are done. They burn out. Worship leaders are killing themselves. They operate from a dry place. You cannot... Guys, I gotta be at the foot of the cross every day. Every day, every day. I gotta be with Jesus. Because if I don't, then I become dry. I become dry. And there's nothing to give. Then I might as well go fishing. Or go plumbing. Because Peter was a fisherman. I'm a plumber. You know, because, you know, when we try to run away from God's calling, we always fall default, right? We follow default. I'm a plumber. Well, screw this. I'm going to go plumbing. I got to be in the Word. I got to be in prayer. I have to fast. When I say I have to, I have to. This is my I have to. I have to be with the Lord. I have to be with kingdom-minded preachers. I depend. Why? Because God called me and there's a lot of people that are depending on me. 1,500 pastors in America. It breaks my heart. That's why we pray for the pastors. We pray that God would keep them strong. The first place the enemy attacks is their family, their marriage, their relationship with their wives. Their relationship with their children. If that's not strong, if I lose my relationship with my wife, I might as well quit. I might as well quit. Because I am as strong as I am, I am as strong as my relationship with my woman is. She's my partner. I make her my best friend. I thank God she's passionate. Like me. Same thing. I make sure that my relationship with my children. There's nothing like operating as a pastor under a closed heaven. You know what's going to happen when you operate under a closed heaven? You lose vision. What does the Bible say? Without vision, the people will perish. You know, it's like, where is this guy leading us? Where are we going? You know, no, it doesn't work. And some of you cannot follow anybody who doesn't know where they're going. Are you still with me? Yes, I know today I told you I have to cut it and finish next Sunday. But are you still learning something?
Yes.
Let me cover this next one. Who is to blame? Who are we to blame? And we're talking about, and I know all of you here, you've already made the choice. I know my members. You know, last month, there's one of us that had a death in their family. We didn't know about it. Because, unfortunately, that person is not. Actually, the week before the death in the family, the person called saying, you know what, remove me from the email list. Remember I told you a couple months ago, I will fight for a relationship. But you can't not fight for relationship for someone who doesn't want relationship. So you have to come at peace with yourself. Well, they don't want relationship. See, when somebody don't want you, you can't do anything else but to move on. I'm moving on. You don't want me? Well, God bless you. You don't know what you're missing. Don't take offense. It's on them. Man, shoot, man, you don't know what you're missing. Remember what it says in the Word. You cannot love people more than you love yourself. So make sure you love yourself according to God's Word. Don't make yourself an idol for yourself. Okay? But make sure you accept God's Word. Don't be like, man, I'm ugly, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny. No, don't do that. God created you the way you are. At the same time, don't think you're so pretty and you're too pretty than everybody else. There's no such a thing. None of us is prettier than anybody else. Each of us here, you're unique. God created you special for this generation. You know, I think instead of blaming it on secular culture or godless politics of our nation, even some churches, and I refuse to blame the church. Yes, some pastors and preachers has blown it. Some pastors has misrepresented Jesus. I am an ambassador, so I'm representing the kingdom. So for me to represent the kingdom the right way, I need to know what the kingdom is about. I want to know what it is about. So then my everyday affair is in line with heaven. What did Jesus say when you pray? Ask what? That your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Next slide. Now let's take a look at in the mirror. Congregations are weak because many of us church members have lost the biblical meaning of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. Now I'm going to elaborate on that one. See, when you have a conflict, don't leave the relationship until you talk about it. Now, people don't want to talk about things. But the right thing to do, if somebody hurts you, if somebody look at you the wrong way, you think or you assume. There's another thing, assumption. Do you know every time you assume something, excuse my English, you're making an ass out of yourself? You know, English is my second language. But when I learned that sentence, I was just like, man, this is something I'll never forget. Every time you assume something, you're making a donkey in the Old Testament out of yourself. Seriously, don't assume. Don't assume. Some of us, we're so easy to assume things. Instead of assuming, I go and ask Aaron. You know, I don't understand. You said this is what you said. Is this what you mean? That's what a person of character does. I don't get it, man. This is what I hear. Even in relationships. Marriage, that's what makes friendship works. When you stop assuming things. You know? Our mind goes there. That's why it's very unwise to publicly vent your political stuff on Facebook. I think the best thing to do is to talk about it with your friends. Because when I post something on political, they can assume what I'm saying. But then if we're sitting around and we're having a conversation, you can see where I'm come from, you can hear my voice, the tone, my face, and I can hear you, we can converse, we can have you're talking, I listen, I talk, you listen, and then I don't change your mind, you don't change my mind, but we give a hug, see you later. When you text, anybody can assume what you're saying. And that's why our society is being divided so much. Because we live on assumption. We think, this person, this is what they mean. And you might be totally wrong. So stop assuming. Take our responsibility. Let's stop blaming our culture. That's why for me, I thank God for my church, for His church here, for you guys, because we are all becoming what the Bible says, they were in one mind. You know what that means? It's like we all understanding what God's saying. We are a kingdom-minded church. We are a spirit-filled church. I mean, without the Holy Spirit, we have no church. We are a church of love. We love people. We are a church. We accept you wherever you are, wherever you come from. You know, even if you smell, we accept you. And I'm serious. We honor you. This is not a place for performance. This is God's church. Notice, we join churches expecting others to serve us. Just like I've joined 7-Eleven for 17 cents. Boy, that is serious. You know, Sims Club, I joined the country club, right? We joined the country club for privileges. But the mindset is, I joined God's church. I am here to serve you. You're not here to serve me. I'm here to serve you. Just think about it. In my marriage, I'm here to serve my wife. And she's here to serve me. And we are both 100%. I mean, it's like, I serve you. And she's like, I serve you. And we, both of us is like, serve, 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 serve. Man, that's a happy marriage. I'm going to be nice to you. And you're going to be nice to me. That's a happy relationship. Culture of honor. I honor you. Man, I said, man, brother, you're looking good. Don't lie. If they don't look good, say, hey, go change that. You know, like my wife, she's like, that doesn't match. You know, that doesn't match. But because I know she loves me, she'll tell me the truth. When she says, that doesn't match, and I know it's because she cares. The spirit of hypocrisy, we rebuke it in God's church. People are hypocrites. And people come to church, and you know, I thank God that the spirit of hypocrisy has been gone in our midst. There's no hypocrites here. Because I'm not a hypocrite, and you're not a hypocrite. That's it. See, the 95% we focus on. We join the church to feed. Some people join the church to be fed. But we join the church so we could feed others and care for others. We don't like hypocrites in the church. But we fail to see our own hypocrisy. In the middle of the pandemic, I thank God for what He's doing. He's strengthened have here the backbone of His church. And I thank God that the community we have here, we're getting strong. We are understanding membership. You know? And I'm going to stop right here. And I'm going to continue next week. How about that? Huh? That's a good one. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for your word today. Father, we ask that you would forgive us for all the times that we missed it. We've missed it, Lord. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in the way that you're changing our mindset here in Leinster. Thank you, Father. Father, we also pray for the so many, for those that have been hurt by the church. Those that have been hurt and just missed, just abused by the church. By your church, God. We ask that you would heal them and cause them to return to you. Give them a revelation that would cause them to see that they cannot do life by themselves. You created us for community. You created us to belong. And each of us here, we want, and people out there, they want to feel belonged. They want to be part of something. And your kingdom is a beautiful thing. So Lord, I bless your name for the work that you're doing in each of our minds. We accept your word, and we will be different. We will continue to honor one another, respect one another, serve one another, love one another. Because there's nothing like it. There's nothing like a group of people who understand those things. People out there, that's what they want. Everybody's looking for love. Everybody's looking for likes. And that's what you're all about. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, you said, amen. So let's do one more song. Which one are we doing? What a friend. That's a good one. Yes.